Welcome to episode of 189 of Force and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. Can we call this emergency podcast? Maybe it's kind of a I'm kind of a little late
to the emergency, but
yeah. it's an exciting podcast. I thought Friday was going to be a Netflix and chill. It turned out to be a Netflix and Anthony Harris. As I watched all the highlights and kind of like figured out, wow, they pulled this off. I can't believe we actually got a quality safety. You're talking about the market out there. One of the top guys out there to be had. We have a guy in the fold who has relations with not those kind of relations, but he has relations with Gannon and will be getting back to what he's used to doing. And hopefully he's a guy in the mix that kind of echoes home what Gannon wants to see in his defense, in his safeties. We have McLeod coming off injury, torn ACL. We have, Kayvon Wallace. We don't really know who he is yet as a player. Jalen Mills, the hybrid defensive back, is no longer in town. But at the end of the day, we have a safety that you can hang your hat on. He's been pretty solid over the last couple of years. Anthony Harris, sixth season last year, 58 solo tackles, seven passes defended. You see, that is college. That is the University of Virginia, former teammate of McLeod. Yes, sir. Your initial feelings, guys, once you heard the news about Anthony Harris being signed?
Well, my initial thought process, I was sitting there. The first thing I thought of, it's a huge step up from Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills, love the dude. Love that he's sticking with the Green Goblin look, even though he's going to New England. That guy will always be a Philly guy, always thankful for the Super Bowl. But let's be real about the situation. I mean, I was expecting more out of him moving to the safety position. And ultimately, it just didn't end up being what I was expecting. Anthony Harris, on the other hand, I think he's a really solid option at safety. And once Rodney McLeod gets healthy again, to have those two on opposite sides of each other, and then you got Darius Slay out on the outside, if we could just get one more cornerback in this room, we would actually have a pretty solid secondary that I'd be happy with. We got the solid secondary, we got the solid line. We just need to fill in everything in between, you know?
Topic of the podcast, you know, I mean, the excitement. This is the reason why we're coming on live right now and bringing this excitement to everybody. I'm excited that I was actually able to open up a Christmas gift. didn't just get to see everybody else open up a gift. I got to open up a gift. It was a great signing. 1 year, $5 million. I mean, dirt cheap. It was just like, hey, we had to do something. So, I'm pretty excited about it because of the fact that, you know, we've been tugging at the Eagles to go do something, and they finally did it.
Now, the shout out to people in the chat. Manuel Carter says, great coverage safety. Just got to shore up his tackling. Jordan, he's all for it. He's like, this was a good signing. Sean Patrick is already asking for a Dory Jackson. We'll be talking about that soon.
Yeah, we'll get on that one.
Kevin says, I like the smooth, great signing. Fuego G says, instant upgrade. Ryan says he's not really impressed with the signing. Okay.
As comparatively to Jalen Mills, though, like, do we all agree in this room that it's a step up from Jalen Mills' safety?
Absolutely.
I mean, this was a guy, he does have ball hawk tendencies. I know that he had a down year last year, but in 2019, he did co-lead the NFL with Tre'Davious White with six interceptions. So my man does have that ball hawk gene inside of him. And then on top of that, something I also love about this guy, he was an undrafted free agent, correct? So just like anyone that's got that kind of dog mentality, I think it's kind of similar to Jalen Mills. So Jalen Mills was a seventh round guy, wasn't really anticipating him ever making an impact or being a starter, but he stepped up. I think Anthony Harris has that same kind of dog mentality that we're looking for. Have it be an undrafted free agent that you turn into one of the league leaders in interceptions 1 year. It's very impressive.
And yeah. I mean, some people are questioning the tackling skills. I mean, come on, the numbers speak for itself. And then on top of that, I mean, if I read that correctly, he had 104 combo tackles. So, I mean, it seems like the guy's in plays. Like, he's going to find his way to get there and make the play happen. So, I mean, that right there is a big upgrade.
And when it comes down to the dollars and cents, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Gail, but like one year for $5 million, that's reasonable, right?
Very.
I mean, hey, like the way that our bank account is set up,
that's the right kind of deal.
And if Kevin Hart was our GM, this is the perfect freaking player to be signing right now. According to Sports Info Solutions, Harris allowed just 9 yards and 178 snaps of man coverage last season. He fits the prototypical ball-hawking type free safety. Harris, 9 interceptions over the last 3 years, are tied for 6th among all safeties, while 24 passes defended are tied for 7th. At the end of the day, man, we got a guy that knows the system, can relate what the coach is trying to portray on the field. So, I mean, you have another guy who's able to, you know, let the younger guys know what is actually going on. The signing made sense for the money. Come on, man. The money.
And this.
Gannon coached for threes. And this is really what it is. Like, if you go back to any of these signings across the league, if you see the new head coaches in place, you'll see all these other former players who played for them that know the system, know the scheme. It's all about scheme fits. Now, if he's a scheme fit, I'll take it for now. For now, it's, hey, man, beggars cannot be choosers.
Absolutely.
Perfect signing.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree.
Sean says, not talked about enough. Sorry. But the Eagles have 3 DBs who played under Gannon in Minnesota. Harris, Epps, and Craig James.
Seems like we're going for that sort of familiarity, which I'm totally fine with. You go with players you're comfortable with, players that know the scheme that you're trying to go for. I mean, it works both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, I mean, you go and deal with people that have history with, because, I mean, trying to figure out a new scheme or just trying to figure people out right now, I think we're like beyond all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, let's go into the season knowing our guys, you know, as much as we do. So that way we get, you know, have that confidence going into the season.
I don't know, man, because like when I initially saw this signing, I was very happy with it. And to me, the one of the first thoughts that went through my mind is I'm finally starting to see the end of the tunnel of what has been completely poor secondary play out of the Eagles for the past few years. Like, we have guys that have just been getting burnt in historic fashion these past few years. It's just been a week in and week out thing that we just have guys getting burnt. And now that I'm starting to see all these pieces come together, and a new defensive scheme, I'm really starting to feel more confident about what our defense could be. Could we see the resurgence of a strong defense of Philadelphia, man?
I really hope so. I mean,
we're on our way, Gail.
It's due to happen. We need it. We need it back, man. We need that defensive scheme back in our, you know, in our lives.
But the thing I do like, I like people out there like doubting what this defense could be. I like people doubting what this whole offensive unit could be. That's where I need keep them on the give them every material out there to motivate these guys to be their best selves. That's fine. Like, I'll go into the season unassuming, and hopefully this defense, they switch things up. I mean, the fact that all these people out there, all these players are saying that the Eagles defense had a tendency not to like switch things up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we might have a guy in here that actually likes the blitz a little bit more. That will be nice. Kevin's already talking draft. He's already talking cornerbacks.
You can smell it. Like, we are sitting here at March 20 right now. We are officially like what, a month and 2 days ish away from the draft.
Six weeks away. Yeah. Almost. Asante Samuel Jr. I think he'd be a baller in the second round. He's a playmaker. He's got his dad's instincts, I believe. So I mean, he's a guy that I'm looking at. You know, people might knock him for his size, but he's got a big heart out there, and he's a playmaker. Mm-hmm. But that goes to another point that we just mentioned about Adoree Jackson, a cornerback who's also visiting with the New York Giants on Monday. He flies out tomorrow. He'll be there on Monday for a meeting with the Giants, and he has a meeting with the Eagles Monday night. So if things don't work out well with the Eagles on Monday,
with
the Giants on Monday, and you don't like how it smells out there in Jersey, because they are in Jersey, not New York, you can come down to Philly and down 95 and be with the most rabid fan base there is. And if you make one mistake, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Definitely let you know.
and talk about mistakes. This is a play from preseason, if you guys remember this one.
All right, he's at the top of your screen, Mark and Michelle. He's going to run a deep post against quarters coverage, which means there's four guys deep, and I'll circle him right here. You see Michelle against Adoree Jackson. Adoree gets spun around, tries to go for the ball, not able to do it. And what a throw by Sudfeld to hit him exactly in stride.
Tutty Suddy, look at that.
And Mark and Michelle.
How you feel now?
Yo, people find receipts everywhere. That doesn't mean that he's not going to be he's not going to be a player here. It's just you know, we have receipts. I you know, everyone remembers. I was just like, Adoree Jackson, USC. Okay, yeah, Mark and Michelle. I remember that play. I put it on Twitter that time he got burnt by Mark and Michelle. Yeah. But I mean, overall, you talk about CB2, right? The position that we all knew that we needed to really address.
Yep.
The Eagles put Asante Lil-Tay-Tay out there. Lil-Tay needs to be inside. We all knew that. So the fact that they put him at CB2, prior to the season starting, we
you
all
mean Avante? Knew that. Avante Maddox?
Yeah,
I call him Lil-Tay-Tay. Lil-Tay-Tay. Lil-Tay.
I thought you said Asante. That's my bad.
Lil-Tay-Tay, Asante, Lil-Tay-Tay. But can we all agree that that was kind of a mistake having us, him outside?
Yeah,
absolutely.
There was a lot of us that went into that season with our saying it with our chest that Avante Maddox was going to be just fine on the outside, and we ate crow, man. We certainly did, because my man got burnt. He didn't live up to the expectations, and then you end up just watching guys like Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas just actually find production in their new home. So that was a swift kick in the groin.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I'm hoping that we can go ahead and make this move. I'm not saying that Adoree Jackson is going to be the guy, but we definitely got to go ahead and get Avante out of that position, back in the inside. We need to get away from that because, like Evan had pointed out, I mean, he got burnt too much. And it was just like, again, the expectations going into the week. As soon as that ball got turned over to the defense side, it's like, oh, shit, who are they going to go and attack? You know what I mean? And I was one of those guys like, oh, man, watch Avante. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Who's going to be on him? So – yeah, I really hope we just address that position. If it's not with Adoree Jackson, you know what I mean? We just need to address the position, period.
And I feel like the board sets itself up nicely for us to go out and get a cornerback in round two. Hopefully, you know, there's Newsom out of Northwestern, I believe. Asante Samuel. Omar says Eric Stokes. What do you run a 4.25? Eric Stokes?
4.25. We're talking about burning. Yeah. We're talking about getting burnt. How about the burning speed, man?
I think Campbell ran a 4.28, 2.29 something. Everyone's gonna run a little bit faster this year since they're not at the combine.
Because it's unofficial, yeah.
Those pro day numbers a little bit faster, but hey man, like again.
On your driver's license.
Yeah. Or your height. You know, you're like,
that's what I mean. Your driver's license. Sure. 5'11". Sure.
Yeah. Or my weight. I'm not that fat. I'm like, okay. Like, how much you weigh? 175.
Yeah.
Okay. But the value of the board in the second round to get a cornerback or even going back and getting safeties, I'm cool with that too. I'm telling you, this draft has the possibilities of setting us up for success. It kind of fits all our needs in terms of where we fall in the draft and where the board fits. So obviously, Eagle fans are clamoring over cornerbacks. I hope hopefully all you guys are doing your homework. I've done my homework on the top cornerbacks. I'm working my way down right now. I was watching some stuff on Newsom. He's an interesting product. Prospect, but overall, I'm just like, we need somebody in here. CB2, having a nice CB2 would be wonderful. Kelly says Kayvon Wallace needs to be on the field.
Absolutely.
With McLeod being out, and you, Anthony Harris, do you think Kayvon Wallace is going to be that guy playing opposite of Anthony Harris to start out the season? Or
I mean, if they don't address that position,
if they don't go through it in the draft,
they got to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I'm honestly excited to see what Kayvon can bring to the table in like a starter type role.
But it's also a new defense. So, like, exactly. You know, he's learning a new language again out there. So it's like you talk about he's going to have to start from ground zero here to figure out this new defense. So obviously when you have a guy like Harris beside him trying to teach him the ways, that'll help. We also brought in Mr. Andrew Adams. Mm-hmm. Andrew Adams contributed primarily on special teams for the Bucks last season. Originally signed as a UDFA out of Connecticut in 2016. He started 32 games over five seasons with the Giants and Bucks and has six career interceptions. Should be viewed as a much needed depth signing for the secondary. This is expected to be a low cost signing. There's little risk involved here with Jalen Mills off to New England and McLeod coming off a ACL surgery in December. The depth is much needed in that group. So overall, it's like, again, cheap depth signings. He's a special teams ace. He was on the Super Bowl winning Bucks team. That's, you know, a Super Bowl. Brady winning another Super Bowl. Does he have any more fingers?
it's absolutely not out of the question. I think that Brady is not going to slow down next year. I think if you're on the Tampa Bay Bucks, you got a good chance of getting a ring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the scary part. You know, I mean, the more that man keeps on playing, it's like years as he goes deeper into his career, he gets better and better, man.
That bastard's in the NFC too.
I hate to admit it, man.
I mean, do we think Brady's going to retire after this season? Please, can you?
If he were to make another run, why? Why would he?
Well, Shady said he was going to play till like 40, like almost 50.
Yeah. I think 48. I think Brady is very honest with himself, and I think that he is going to end up he'll know when he just simply can't do it anymore. But I think that he's made it obvious after what he threw like 46 touchdowns this past year. I don't think that he's ready. I don't think his body's telling him it's shutting down yet.
Shout out to Morris McCray over here. AKA Mo. This is my former college teammate and captain. This guy's a beast over here. He said Brady's got a chance to repeat over here. You know, he does. He does. I think the Chiefs have something to say about it. And I think Mo's Giants have nothing to say about it. So we'll keep it at that. Our Eagles don't have anything to say about it either. We have some work to do. But, I mean, overall, I think right now the favorites to go back to the Super Bowl would probably be – what is Vegas saying? Tampa.
I would say it has to be Tampa. Yeah.
Interesting. Jersey Boy, he says, would you guys take Jackson if the price is right or prefer a corner from the draft? I think you still have to, like, you still have to go after a cornerback, just a veteran cornerback, and then get another corner in the second round. I mean, I think it's a perfect opportunity to restack the deck, man. You think about those players that we had in here, like Sidney Jones, Roswell Douglas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, could you have had kept those guys as depth with all these other guys that were moved on from in a different system years later? Omar, another CB2 to look out for is Rodarius Williams. Our guy AJ Torres actually did an interview with him during the Senior Bowl. I've heard a lot of other Eagle players talking about Rodarius Williams as well. So I'm you know, like right now it's like we're just trying to figure out who our team is. It's obvious that we're still trying to make moves on the cheap. We're the bargain hunters right now. The Eagles are the bargain hunters, and that's okay with me. Like
I know being a bargain hunter. I'm a coupon user.
I know it sucked. It sucked when we were out there seeing everybody signing people. The first day of free agency. Last night, I was over here like, the Eagles signed someone, Joe. We did it. We finally got somebody that actually made sense. It's not even like, you know how Eagle fans will tend to like big up their own players without like, oh, he's going to be the best guy next year. Now that he's with us.
Yeah.
Nah, I think it's a perfect opportunity to he makes sense. And I was just like, I was looking at Vikings players and Colts players, like who's on the market. So I mean, that's where I'm at. Looking for guys that played with Gannon that makes sense, and then start drafting and developing your own talent. So I feel like Gannon, man, if Gannon turns out to be okay, dude.
I mean, and he's kind of following the same sort of road path that Jim Schwartz was following, in that like he's going and getting his own guys that have played in his system before, which is something that, I mean, say what you want about Jim Schwartz's scheme. It has its ups and its downs over the course, but like we ended up having some great seasons together. He ended up like some of the best players that came from Jim Schwartz's defense were guys that he's played with on previous teams. I'm thinking of guys like Nigel Bradham. You know, it's just like those kind of guys that you have a familiarity with. It's you know who to take with you. And I think Anthony Harris is a guy that Gannon sees a lot of potential in. And I'm excited to see what he's going to bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like that concept. You got to go, again, you got to go into the season being familiar with people that you know, you could surround yourself with and know your system. And you know what I mean? And know how to go after the ball once you go ahead and give them that direction or that play and all that stuff. And that's why I love the scheme. And I hope, you know, it really turns out, you know, a different story for Gannon, because, again, we just need that back in our lives, like I said earlier. You know what I mean? We need that oomph to go and have that defense go after the guys.
Yeah, I agree. You're muted, Gil. And I agree with what Tim has to say. I mean, he's talking about drafting a cornerback. I'm not particularly eyeing up a cornerback with the 6th overall pick, but I 100% think that by day 2, you have to have a rookie cornerback on your team through the draft. You got to draft one by the 3rd round at the latest, I think.
Yeah, at the latest, definitely, for sure.
How's my mic right now?
No, sound about crispy, my guy. Crispy.
Crispy. Shout out to 2020 Vision, our technician on the back end.
I was hitting you up in the private chat. I was wondering if you saw that or not.
Let's see. Shout out to Soko. He says, "How are we feeling about the potential Dory additions with Harris now?" Yeah, I mean, we just talked about it recently. It's just it just makes sense for now. Mm-hmm. These are just like temporary pieces.
The way that our bank account's set up.
You got a hole in the wall. You got to put some moxie on there, fill it up, and then paint over it. That's what we're doing. Like next season, we could have a whole new wall.
We just got to put a poster over top of the hole right now. It's an easy fix.
Marcus says, as long as Dory isn't expensive, more likely a one-year deal because of the new cap. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these players get that one-year deal, get your weight up, you know, get your stock right, and then when the new TV deal is in place, all these teams are going to have extra cash, and you get that other deal, dude.
Now, I know that we've been talking about – yeah, you got there before I did. I know we've been talking about defense primarily this entire show, but I did see John Clark's tweet right before we started this podcast, and he was talking about – the possibility of Nick Foles finding his way back in the nest. I mean, guys, can we put this one to bed, please? Can we please put it to bed? Or is this just going to be a story that exists every offseason until Nick Foles retires?
I don't think it's ever going to get put to bed. You know what I mean? You're going to bring the man – if they decide to bring that man back, you got the statue out there already. You know what I mean? It's going to be an ongoing matter no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, we need to address the QB situation, but with that.
Are we satisfied? I think in terms of having a young quarterback with confidence who's willing to fight, I'm all for that. Do I think bringing in a veteran quarterback to help lead the way and help mentor, that'd be nice. You know, even a guy who, you know, we were thinking Fitzmagic. We were thinking maybe Tyrod Taylor. We were thinking Jacoby Brissett with relations with Sirianni's system, but that didn't work out. So now we're sitting here. We're ghost riding. We're ghost riding the whip with Jalen on the side doing his thing. And for now, I think imagine if they get Kyle Trask from Florida. Another QB controversy. But then we've already talked about the possibilities of getting a quarterback at number 6. Nobody really wants to talk about that. You know, there's people that are on the Justin Fields train thinking that he might slip or the Eagles might move up. And then Howard Roseman recently in his press conference with Sirianni said, you know, you all that rumor about us not going and sticking with Jalen Hurts, that's all hearsay. Obviously, nobody's going to show their hand prior to the draft. A lot of pre-draft smoke is out there. It's up for us fans to kind of like decipher what they really are trying to do. But I think has Hurts showed you enough to not be the guy? No, I don't think to be the guy, the franchise. He's showed you enough to trust in him maybe in a year. But like that's not how scouting departments think. That's not how GMs think. Hey, you saw Kyler Murray get drafted one overall after they drafted one high.
Year before that.
So new guy, new system, new mindset. Do they believe Hurts? I think they might. I mean, if you give Hurts a dog, Kyle Pitts at six, or it's Jamar Chase at six, or Pitts move back, slide down, get extra picks, second round, and then maybe Devontae Smith or get a Jalen Waddle. Like you can't go wrong in this draft when I tell you there's playmakers. There's playmakers there. Like Pitts, like Jamar Chase, Waddle.
I agree with you. But
those are all dogs, though. I would not feel weird about any of those guys if we got them.
I 100% agree with you. 100%.
I normally don't say that.
But to say Howie Roseman, there's no way he can screw this up.
Oh, bro can screw. He can screw it up.
He can screw it up.
Big time. Big time.
People are wide awake this morning. Shout out to Tim, Complete Kicks over here. Check out his sneaker podcast, man. Diehard Eagle fan. It's been on the show, friend of the show.
Yep.
He's going for cornerback Tay Gowan in the later round. Interesting. I think he did. The Eagles have shown interest in him. I think he had a virtual Zoom meeting with them. Kevin is speaking from the rooftops. Let's get off the Foles train,
please. With Kevin. Preach, bro. With you. Preach.
We are with
Soko saying take Jamie Newman at 150 and let Jalen Cook. What about like we talked about Kyle Trask? No one said anything. His offensive coordinator's here. You draft Kyle Pitts at six. His old tight end is here. Wow.
I mean, and we are also seeing that the Eagles are going for guys that they've worked with before, and they're going for that kind of formula with this team. So it makes sense. It adds up. Howie's salivating at drafting a punter early.
Michael's like, you can't go wrong in this draft. No, I said you can't go wrong with those guys, the playmakers at the top. Like I'm telling you, if he completely messes this one up, me, you, and a whole bunch of people, we're gonna be at NovaCare waiting outside, bro. Like I will be there. I was actually there. I pulled up when the Eagles won the Super Bowl and they got off the airplane. And me and my cousin were at the store, and we all drove down to NovaCare, and everybody and their mother found out that they're on their way. New cars just pulled over all over the road, and we all waited outside for the players. It was amazing. But we will be doing that if you botch this draft up. We'll all be pulling our cars up. Yeah. They blocked the traffic.
Yeah.
Eagle fans are nuts. They just blocked the traffic. They parked in the middle of the road. Cops didn't do anything. And it was amazing, but we will do that again. That is because I'm choosing violence on this one.
Gail leading the way.
Parking in the middle of the road is a total Philly thing, man. I mean, I love when out of towners come into Philly and they just see the roads just piled of cars parked right in the middle. Like, what the hell's going on here? Is there an event going on? No, it's a Tuesday. What's going on?
That's what we do.
let's see. Everyone's talking. Everyone wants to talk about their picks here. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Perkins is a guaranteed pick since Howie calls Lincoln on player. Okay. All right. Okay. I think the other picks that we need to start talking about and looking at are interior linemen. We need one piece, or I say one piece middle rounds. There's some guards and some centers with some versatility out there. I think that's important. I think safety, possibly second to third, linebacker, Jabril Cox, maybe. Go ahead.
You've been talking highly about Drake Jackson to eventually fill in for Jason Kelsey. Where do you think you could get him in the draft? What round?
I'm thinking like fourth, fifth. Like, I'm looking at other positions to be filled here. Like, mm-hmm. if we're going to take a shot on a developmental player, my guy Braxton, he covered Kentucky for probably like 3 years, and he's been putting me on to Drake Jackson for a while now. So he's like, yo, you got to look at Drake Jackson. He did fairly well at the Senior Bowl. So I mean, he's a guy that I'm looking at. So I mean, there's other guys that you could look at. I know Creed Humphrey, Landon Dickerson, some guys that people have been talking about. You know, you're just trying to like think about a guy with some guard center versatility, unless the Eagles think Isaac Suamalo is their future center. I mean, Jason Kelsey has said that Isaac, he's like, after I'm gone, I could see Isaac being the guy.
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see.
Yeah, David Moore. Also, yeah, David Moore, he's a guy that I've been adding in my mock drafts late. Do you guys do mock drafts, or yeah. am I the only?
No, I don't.
I haven't.
You know, when you pay the premium prices so you can put the trades in, that's a level of nerd.
That's a new thing, right? Is that just new this year? Because I could have swore that I never paid for it, and I used to be able to do the trades.
Well, there's a whole bunch of different
on mock the draft drafts out there. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's other mock drafts simulators out there. Mm-hmm. But people will show their drafts on the timeline. You're like, which one did you use? Because you're not guys like, I traded back three times and I got Jamar Chase at number 10. I'm like, you're not getting
Jamar Chase
at 10.
No. Yeah.
Break your phone. shout out to Kelly.
I really wish I would have took a picture of that. You know, I mean, you guys had that draft geek look on you guys when you said that.
Do you pay for the premium for the mock draft simulator? Kelly says, do you trust Dillard to take the reins at tackle? I'm not high on him. I think some people would have to be high on him. No, I just think shout out to Diller. He's part of the Prime fan club. He owns a Prime helmet. I was there when Prime placed the helmet in his hands and he was so excited. But
who? Diller or Prime?
Diller.
It was a moment.
I mean, I think Diller could be serviceable. I don't think his career is over by any means. I think people are just down on him, high as in high on him. But
I got to be honest, man, and it's going to sound silly, but like I really think that there's a lot that goes into just how people view him. Because I think that like when a lot of people saw the J-Jaw with the umbrella, that's like until J-Jaw steps up and moves beyond that and has a breakout season, everyone's just going to go, J-Jaw, oh, the guy that needs the sun umbrella. I think that sort of same thing is going on with that Dillard. Andre Dillard crying, bro. When he was getting beat the hell up by Josh Sweat. And so like until Dillard shows like that he's got that dog mentality, everyone's going to point back and be like, okay, wasn't that the guy crying during training camp? I'll go with the ukulele player. Thanks.
I mean, if Dillard shows up in some corn rolls and a couple fronts, he's like, yo, this is the new Dillard's here, bro. Like, yeah. ain't nobody stepping on my toes.
He shows up like a Denzel on training day, just for and then he training camp.
Yeah, he's like, y'all to be. What's that line from Denzel? You the man up in here. but he got into a fight with what's his name? My brain is not working today.
He got into a fight in training camp. Was it with Josh Sweat?
Not Josh Sweat. It was I can't think today. Yeah.
Well, he got
you know what fight. I'm talking about.
I remember the story. I just forgot the
who's our other defensive end?
Barnett.
Yes. Jeez, man.
Oh, Derek Barnett.
Man. I mean, if Derek Barnett is punking you right now, But it happens. This is football camp.
That
not everyone
part, that is part of the football camp. You know what I mean? You go in there with that mentality. Everybody's fighting for a job. So, you know what I mean? The frustration is going to go ahead and definitely surface. It's how you handle it. It's how you handle all this stuff that comes your way. I mean, that's just things in general. You know what I mean? Just be blessed in the fact that you are given the opportunity to play in the NFL, man. Go in there with your pride and don't let the little petty shit, you know, take over your life. You know what I mean? But that's the problem with Dillard. That's the problem with whatchamacallit too. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, just go in there and beast it out. Go get that job that, you know what I mean, you came into the NFL for.
Kelly says, I didn't think he was a first rounder was my only thing. Yeah, I just think he, you know, his mobility is what people were liked in his game. I think Stoutland was excited about his smarts, the way that we'd like, you know, count steps and stuff like that. I thought his functional strength would be an issue coming out early, coming out as, you know, his first year. You're talking about a guy who was like super light when he came out. I think he was like 260 pounds mm-hmm. when he got to college. I think his dad was actually a big standout linebacker at Washington, Washington
point,
State.
Yeah. Point blank, he has a lot to prove this upcoming season.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but all I got to say is shout out to him for being part of the Prime fan club.
Absolutely.
You know, appreciate that.
I think we got another shout out. I mean, we got some YouTube celebrity. We got Joey Shakes in the house, man.
Yo, Joey Shakes is welcome, a celebrity,
love,
guys.
If you guys, love your content, man.
Yeah, if you don't realize Joey Shakes, man, this guy's doing it on YouTube. He says, what do you think of Anthony? I think it's –
I think we're all big on it.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier, we're just like, it's a perfect signing. The way that our bank account is set up, and my Kevin Hart voice, I'll say it again, perfect signing for the moment. I think having a Dory Jackson in, you know, he's an athlete, you know, I feel like he's serviceable. I think he was set to make like 10.4 million, and the Titans let him go. They saved like $3 million and that let him walk. So I think overall, I mean, he's better than what we have right now. I mean,
he definitely stepped up.
I mean, we saw some, you know, what was Michael Jacquet out there? Ooh, former tire salesman. Bro went from selling.
He sold me my Jetta.
Yeah, he was like, yo, I'm selling tires and now I'm getting scorched on national television. And no one's like, he's out there like, help me. And Schwartz is like, we had no one. Like, you could have put anybody out there to help him. Pulled a Julian Edelman, somebody. Put somebody on the side of the ball. He was getting murdered.
Let's see.
Paul, shout out to Paul from London. He says, we need to get Ertz out because the situation is not looking good for us. Do you agree?
That writing's been on the walls for damn near a year now. We've all been saying that Ertz is not going to be here to start the year. I just don't see that happening. It's got the smell of Howie written all over it. Just that he is trying to kind of poison the waters as far as Zach Ertz and just get everybody comfortable with getting him the hell out of here. It's ultimately going to happen. I think Ertz is going to get moved. I think that especially there's no way on God's green earth that if we were to go after Pitts during the draft, that Ertz were to still be here. We plan on moving forward with Goddard and whoever else. Ertz says it's unfortunate because I really liked Zach Ertz as a player, but his time in Philadelphia seems to be up.
I'm going to miss Julie.
Yeah, I know
you're going to miss. Hey, I'm man, miss, it's I'm gonna miss hey, Julie. You can always watch U.S. soccer, U.S. women's soccer, and you can always wear her shirt and still rep the brand.
No, I think
you better tell your wife.
Already did.
I think Ertz, you know, I feel like, you know, the Bills, they were told that all that smoke and mirrors at the Bills. They just signed a tight end as well. Mm-hmm. But I think Ertz is even his brother had mentioned it. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm not speaking for Zach, but Zach will tell you if he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild and, you know, he'd like to go somewhere else and start fresh. You know, A2DTville, I want younger talent developed depth across the board. And if that younger talent could be a Kyle Pitts, That's some dominant younger talent. Dallas, Goddard, and Kyle Pitts would give defenses the shits. If you see those two lined up, you're like, how are we going to match up to this? Yo, I was watching Kyle Pitts against J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn out of South Carolina.
One of the top corners on the draft.
Aggressive, real, just get in your face, nasty attitude type. He had perfect coverage on Kyle Pitts. Perfect. And he still was uncovered. His ability to get open, and that's the one thing that you look forward in the way that he runs routes at his size. It's going to be crazy. He's also a Philly native. Prodigal son returns. Anyone want to finish those lyrics for me?
Wrong okay. guy on that one. I'm 86, guy.
I mean, House of Pain?
But as far as I see Ertz getting out of here. Do you think if Pitts were to come in here, he's instantly the starter over Goddard? I would imagine with all this hype around him that he would have to be. I mean, he seems like that dominant.
I mean, imagine drafting someone at number six and he's coming off the bench. That
doesn't make
sense. You shouldn't be drafting him at number six if you coming off the bench.
Yeah. Sure. Training camp's definitely going to prove all that.
I think that Dallas Goedert, he might have to. I actually deleted my Dallas Goedert meme with the guns.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's appropriate anymore. but I feel like I think Dallas Goedert would. I think that would definitely make him compete.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas Goedert would say, you know, this is it for me. Maybe my time in Philadelphia is up. That was a shot at Wentz. I'll stop right there. No, I just think that would be, you know, if we 12 personnel would be a nice little package. Yeah. And it's, you know, people are just like, I don't know if he's going to go 12. Hey, if you get Kyle Pitts, 12 personnel in Dallas, got it. 12 personnel is going to be something real nice. Something real nice.
Yeah. There's definitely going to be a tight end open pretty much every play.
Soko says the same way they stopped Ertz and Goddard, bracket coverage with linebacker safety, two tight end isn't the way. Two tight end isn't the way. But Kyle Pitts is a unicorn. He could play X. I mean, that's what everyone's telling me. He's a unicorn. He could play X, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
someone said he's the mix of Calvin Johnson meets Travis Kelce, right?
Oh,
Daniel Jeremiah called him Hall of Famer, right?
He can make it work no matter where he's at, dude.
And he's from Philly playing for the Eagles, right? That's a lot of pressure.
If he's beating coverage on J.C. Horn, I mean, that's impressive, dude. He's one of the top corners that we've been talking about in this draft. So, like, if he's able to run step for step with him, like, sky's the limit.
It's not a bad choice if we go Kyle Pitts, man. Point blank. Not a bad choice at all.
Now that there are talks of Atlanta being in on Pitts, and imagine Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts. I mean, I think they'd be doing a disservice.
Calvin Ridley, to their
franchise if they didn't draft a quarterback.
I think so.
To replace
Matty Ice,
also a Philly native. Didn't he go to the same high school as? Is Kyle Pitts?
Did he? I don't know. Sure.
Someone would fact check that. Man, there's a lot of hype out there. Like I feel like there's a lot of hype out there to getting a playmaker. The whole vibe right now to me makes it feel like offense is the way in the first round.
I think so. I think that's where everybody's been leaning towards. But then you also have to, I think, go defense kind of heavy on day two. Just because we talked about just like how we've been in getting scored on constantly. I said how our secondary's been in shambles for the past few years. So if we can finally turn that around and start forcing offenses to have low scoring games, it can make it that much easier on our own offense where they wouldn't have to score as much to win. I think that's the formula that you want to go for there. I think you want to try and shore up that defense as much as possible. Get guys like an Anthony Harris that we got today that can create turnovers. I mean, that's something that we've really been lacking in our game, is the ability to force turnovers. So you get some guys like that on the team, could be a completely different defense.
No, they went to two different high schools.
Okay. Who went to Archbishop?
That was Kyle Pitts.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Luke, shout out to Luke Stanfield, a writer of Fourth and John. He said he played against Kyle Pitts. And he is not as athletic as Kyle Pitts, is what he said.
Wait, Luke played against Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, when he was a kid. They played in the same. Wow. They played on the same team. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he wasn't as good. That's surprising.
And I'm like, Luke, can we get an interview, bro? Yeah. We hooked it up. Tim says DJ also said he's a remake of Megatron. I mean, these are like Daniel Jeremiah, a guy that I respect, and I watch his career blossom from when he just was he's just been a tremendous asset to the draft community. But for him to say he's a remake of Megatron, that's like, man, that is like,
yeah, that's a serious comparison there.
I mean, you're putting a lot of, you know how Eagle fans are. You can't say any of this stuff, and then he comes in here. But the other key thing is he's never dropped a pass in the red zone.
Never. Dude, I got to be honest. I was a few weeks ago. I was in the place of like, I'm fine with drafting Kyle Pitts, but I wanted to move back and get him at like 8 or something like that. I've been talked into taking him at 6. If he's on the board when he's there at 6, everything that's being said about this guy is very impressive. I mean, you have, like you said, Gail, Daniel Jeremiah, you have guys that are well respected in the industry that have the highest praise for this guy. So if they you can make me believe it.
I totally agree, man. I've been watching so much video since you guys have been like bringing him to light, and the kid is just all over. Like, you could use him in many ways. And again, you know what I mean? Like, even like what Soko mentioned earlier, not that two tight end set, but that's fine. I mean, hey, you go ahead and keep Goddard in the tight end set. You go ahead and use Pitts somewhere else. I mean, you know, sometimes we hurt in that wideout position. So, I mean, you can go ahead and throw some of these defenses off by throwing them into that position. And the kid goes out there and he makes a play. That's what we need. You know what I mean? He's a secret. He could be the secret weapon that we've been looking for.
And I've had this vibe right now. Like, I've had Chase over Pitts at this moment. And I just feel like he's also an alpha. And like, I would feel okay with either one of these guys.
Either one of them. Either one of them, I'm happy.
I just think it's been a minute. You know, it has been a minute. You want to know when the last time a wide receiver that was drafted by the Eagles has went over 1,000 years? Like, the last time
Jeremy drafted Mack.
Yes, 2009. It's the last time a Eagles wide receiver that we drafted had a 1,000-yard season. I'm just saying that was the last time a wide receiver was drafted.
Right.
In 2009. Right. Give me an alpha. I mean, Chase is like, his play strength is tremendous.
I think Macklin was a great player, but I think that Chase seems to have a much higher ceiling than Macklin had. Close.
Chase has been he's been working out privately with, like, instructor since he was like 15, 16. Like, dude's been a beast. He's been in the weight, like, the dude has been a monster. I think he's built different. Like, what he did to the SEC as a 19-year-old is kind of tremendous, man. And the fact that he didn't even play last season, and he's in the top 5, top 6 discussion. What do you have to do? Like, he and all these cornerbacks you're talking about, Sertan, CJ Henderson, like, he's murdered all these first and second round DBs. Diggs, who plays for the Cowboys, go back and watch his film. Looks completely lost against and the fact that we're talking about him and he didn't even play last year in the top 10, top 5, tells you exactly what you need to know about
20 touchdowns, man. It's insane.
And people were like, just like kind of like even Waddle in the discussion, like, you know, Devontae Smith would not have that Heisman season if Waddle played.
Yeah. They would have to share the ball.
And I'm not taking anything from Devontae Smith at all. I'm just saying that, you know, that he wouldn't have won the Heisman if Waddle was here. And but because people are looking at Waddle like, Waddle's now coming into discussion. Yeah. He's been in the discussion.
That ball would have been spread out a whole lot more with Waddle in there.
But Devontae Smith, man, he put some tape on film. Absolutely. Pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then again, we've had this discussion before. We've been in this boat. You know what I mean? Then come draft day, it's like, ugh.
I really think that, like, Pitts and Chase, they are the top tier of what we can get at the sixth pick overall in the draft. And if you, like, go in, if you don't end up with either one of those two and you end up with a Smith or a Waddle, like, that's fine. And I think it can work out. But, like, if you're going for top shelf stuff, it's
got to be one of those two.
Chase or it's Kyle Pitts.
Got to be one of those two.
Yeah.
Marcus, he said Jordan Matthews, he was off by 3 yards, my guy. 997 yards. I was the first guy I thought, too. So Coach A2D Tville says Coach Siri is talking about 13 personnel already. I mean, bro, he's gonna bring an element. I mean, people might say whatever they want about his pressers. Like, bro, let the guy live right now.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely, you know, please.
When Doug came in, you were like, you know, were you like, was he the Super Bowl winning head coach?
Not at all.
I remember the Stunad meter with Doug. Everybody talking about what a Stunad he was. And I mean, ultimately, it ended up coming back out of the shed, but we got a Super Bowl first.
Oh, man. It's insane. Paul Waity says from London, he says, I want Chase, but someone needs to persuade me to think that Pitts is a better option. Well, if Daniel Jeremiah doesn't persuade you,
do you want lobster or do you want filet mignon? Like, that's your options right there. Either one are good, man.
Either one is good. Even though I've never had lobster, but I mean, I know, hear it. Either one is good. You know what I mean?
And how do you not have lobster?
Yeah.
I can't have seafood. We're not going to touch about that. You know, that's not what the podcast is about. No, but I mean, like, honestly, like, I mean, since being back at Philly for that draft that we had here, I haven't felt like this, you know, since then. You know what I mean? When Ezekiel and Carson Wentz were in that top to either go either way. Like, you know what I mean? I was good with either grabbing Ezekiel Elliott at the time or I was good with grabbing Carson Wentz because we weren't sure what was going to happen. They went all in, got Carson, you know what I mean? I was definitely, you know, happy and excited about it. But that's the last time I felt like that, you know what I mean? Because these drafts recently since then have been crazy. But again, having that feeling, you go into this draft day and you're like, you know what I mean? Please, Howie, don't mess this up. Like, it's got to be one of the two. And then, you know what I mean? You make that decision. You make the decision that us, the fan base, wants. And then, you know what I mean? I really feel like the rest of the draft can go just as smooth and start filling in the gaps that we need to go ahead and draw attention to.
So what you're saying is since we got rid of Cam Johnson, we're going punter at six?
Nah, Tim says, Timothy from Facebook says, Howie to Nick, so we need a kicker at six. Get the kicker from, Rikers Island.
Man, listen, that kicker, Rikers Island State. That kicker better kick. He better be the first one to tackle, all right? Fumble recovery, and then run it in for a touchdown every time.
Yeah, I just think, like, the first and second round, I really feel like there's great value there, and like, you got to be a moron of a GM this year to screw this up. There's like, I know, I'm just saying, like, this is Howie's last leg.
Yeah, you're speaking facts, bro.
So was last year, and the, you know.
No, I feel like this is like, how many you're on both.
It's a centipede.
I'm with Gail, man. Yeah, we've kind of like hinted, you know what I mean? We're tired. But this year, oh, that's it, bro. Like, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
I'm in Lurie's ear, like in Karate Kid. I'm like, sweep the leg, like, just sweep it.
Do you have a problem with that?
The first and second round, like that, I don't think you can't. It's hard to like really screw that up, and he does. Yeah. But like the third and fourth, that's where that's where it gets tricky for it. That's where he has to start winning. Like if he can't start hitting on picks, like the fact that we got Sweat where we got him, I think, you talk about the guys that have made sense in later rounds, you know, Jalen Mills being a seventh rounder, you know, hitting on his ability to hit on UDFAs versus other guys. Mm-hmm. Like, can we make it make sense in the third and fourth? Davion Taylor's got he's going to get an opportunity to play. He's going to get an opportunity to play this year. This would be interesting. But again,
Temple this Stone, is Sean Bradley.
Sean Bradley. This isn't Schwartz's defense either.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's the other thing. Right.
Maybe Nate, your boy Nate out here. He's not here anymore, right? Can we get
Nate Gary? Yeah, that bump.
Yeah, can we? So I mean,
that name's not coming out.
He heard that there was an opening selling tires. He went and took that job.
First round pick. That name is not coming out my mouth no more, man. I'm done.
Yeah, well, it's the White Snake, they called him. Michael says, are there any retired firefighters that we should consider at number six?
Yeah. Never forget that one.
Bringing back real bad vibes, man. I remember I was at training camp at Lehigh, and I was like, that's the guy, huh? And that didn't work out.
In that case, give me another Mike Mamula. You know what I mean?
Howie has the history of trying to outsmart himself. So just have to try and avoid that, man. Have someone with some sense in his ear. That's all you can hope for.
Yeah. I mean, if we have some linebackers that can cover, I mean, it would add a nice little element. Like we did a talk to prospect. Shout out to Chris Malley on Jabril Cox. We usually try to pick guys that we kind of think that would make sense. That's why we usually do these talk to prospects and try to figure out guys that we think that make sense for the Eagles. Dude's got over, close to 1,000 snaps in the slot. I'm not going to say he's a thumper, but he's a guy in space that can run for his size, 6'3", 231. You're talking about those hybrid types. Eagle fans are always clamoring for a linebacker around the first and second round. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Never does.
But yeah, let the young guys play. That's a vibe that I'm with. Let the young guys play. Make it make sense for our budget. We're like shopping for our players at Goodwill right now.
That is correct.
We're not at the mall. Not at the mall with a budget. We're like, yo, I'm gonna head to Plato's Closet, get me a cornerback for like $5. You know?
But sometimes that's just where you're at, bro. That doesn't mean that things can't put together a fire outfit from Plato's Closet.
You know? But if you bring the perfect players in here at the right price, and I mean, this is where we have to be. I think it's really about a culture shift. We went this pretty much this whole podcast without mentioning the quarterback in Indianapolis. And I feel like whether you like it or not, it's a big culture shift in the locker room. Because, it's more of like an elephant in the room. And that's a small locker room. And like if there was a divide there, or there was a sense of weirdness or something going on in that locker room, I think it's going to be a weight lifted off a lot of guys' shoulders. Just having that opportunity to like, all right, well, Jalen's the guy now. Let's start fresh. Let's start doing what we do. Hats off to Wentz. We watched his presser. I think he looks like he's in a little bit of different headspace. Mm-hmm. He's out here doing little talk shows and giving little nuggets.
What was your thoughts on the jersey number selection? I mean, was that intentional? Is that something that he's trying to put a chip on his own shoulder?
I that's the way I looked at it. I mean, I think it's him showing who's going to be the better number two. That's my opinion.
Or that he's second to Jalen Hurts.
We know Pittman, Michael Pittman. Junior didn't give him.
Yeah, he didn't want to give 11. Him 11. Right. Yeah. Right.
So one plus one equals two, or like he said he liked the number two. Or is that a? It's kind of weird, man. It is kind of weird. But also shout out to Giovanni who was able to break the news of the number.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was well
done by the Colts organization, honestly. Yeah. Given Gio the ability to drop that nugget.
Yeah, man, I'm talking about breaking news at age 13. Hat tip, my guy. Hat tip, my guy. We're hitting the hour mark here, guys. I mean, there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of draft talk that's continuously going on the next couple weeks. Keep a lookout on these talk the prospects that are coming out. I know we're going to be dropping. We just dropped a Jalen Waddle. We have a Devontae Smith out there. We did a couple of cornerbacks, Surtain and Caleb Farley, Javonte Williams. Still got to do one on Kyle Pitts because he's the tight end god right now.
Yes.
That one, look for that one next week. But any last words before we get out of here? Prime, start with you.
Everybody stay safe. Keep looking forward to some moves being made. Yeah, excited to go ahead and see what these young boys are going to go ahead and bring to the table. Other than that, you know what I mean? It's always go Birds.
Yes, sir.
Evan.
I'm excited about the Anthony Harris signing. I'm starting to think that this defense can really start to turn it around. Excited for the days to come. But today's a big day. One of my favorite people, my sister, Lindsay Hearn. I want to give a birthday shout out. Happy birthday to my sister, Lindsay.
Happy birthday.
I mean, you're the best big brother ever, dude. last words for me. I'm kind of just letting everything unfold. You know, it's like you could sit out here and shoot off some hot takes, and it's just a matter of like you got to be patient. You got to see what they're trying to do here. See what pieces make sense for the team and for the budget. I'm all about the youth movement right now. I think bringing good energy and good vibes and good health. Let's all pray for the doctors that are working with the Eagles this year. Let's pray for them. Have them put their best foot forward this year. But overall, man, I'm just excited for the draft coming up. I think that's where you need to win, and that's where you need to get better. And there are playmakers to be had. But until then, we will see you guys soon. And as always, it's Fly, Eagles, fly.